You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Mountain City Church. This week, we examine a conversation between Jesus and Peter and hear Christ's call for us to step forward in obedience to him.
All right, good morning, Mountain City. My name is Ben. I'm a member here at Mountain City, and I have the privilege to read scripture today. So if you'll open your Bibles to John 21. John 21. So we're going to start in verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly I say to you that when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to gather together and study your word. I ask that you make small the speaker and make large the truth that is spoken, Lord. I just ask that you open our hearts to understand and allow to take root the truth that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we jump right into that, I want to kind of go back and look at who Peter was. Like, you know, we hear all these stories and we'll recognize all of them, but just really kind of set the stage for how Peter's frame of mind in this scene. So if you can open your Bibles to, and I didn't write down any of the, okay. So we're going to be in Matthew. Oh, I have a. Here we go. So we're going to be in Matthew 14, verse 22. And you'll all recognize this. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go," this is Jesus, "go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So this is a really common, you know, story. We're all familiar with it. You could do an entire sermon on this, but I just want to point out a couple things. The first one is that Peter recognized who Jesus was. He understood what Jesus was capable of. He initially had no doubt that if you tell me to come, I will come. So he had that initial establishment of faith. I don't know if any of you have ever been on a boat in a storm, but it's no picnic. You know, it's really, really challenging. And, you know, standing on a boat, getting onto a dock in, like, good weather is not an easy proposition. So the idea of, like, climbing out of this boat onto choppy waves is challenging, right? But he did it. But then, as we all know, what happened, right? Peter realized who he was and stopped believing in who Jesus was, right? And what Jesus was, he focused on himself. He's like, as we all would, like if we're standing on water, we'd be like, "I should not be here. This should not work." And so he focused on like what should be, what he understood, what we understand to be true, instead of focusing on Jesus. And what happened? He sank. So then let's turn to Matthew 16. And we're going to start in verse 13. So Matthew 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father is who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. So once again, we find Peter, who, you know, in a group of disciples, Jesus is asking all of the disciples, you know, "Who do people say that I am?" And a lot of people who have seen everything that Jesus has done have different answers. But Peter understands who Jesus is. And he says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ." You know, I think one of the things we kind of lose as being this distant from this time is, you know, the Israelites had spent hundreds of years being told, "Someone is coming. Someone is coming to set us free," right? I mean, it was baked into who they were, into everything that they did. It was baked into their faith. It was baked into how they practiced their religion. It was baked into how they interacted with each other, how they bought and sold things. It pervaded every single thing that they did. And so to have that understanding, to finally as an Israelite or a Jewish person to be standing in front of the Messiah and say that. Now, and Jesus says, like, you didn't just arrive at that of your own volition, right? You know, that's been revealed to you. But he understands who Jesus is, right? Peter understands who Jesus is. But lest we worry, let's move on to verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So I don't think, you know, Matthew, as you sort of read through Matthew, the guy wrote down a lot, you know, the good and the bad. And I don't think it's a coincidence that these two scenes are right next to each other. So on one hand, you have Peter realizing and stating aloud who Jesus is. You're the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And then, you know, seemingly moments later, saying, hey, what you're saying, and Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to die, you know, I'm going to be killed, and on the third day I'm going to be raised. And Peter rebukes him, says, no, that's not the plan. That's not how this is going to work. And Jesus recognizes both the original message of, like, I'm the Messiah, says that came from God. You got that from God. And then Peter saying, no. And Jesus going, actually, you got that from Satan. So here's a man who had, you know, Jesus is just moments before said, on this rock I will build my church. Still missing the message. Still missing the point. Not quite getting it, right? You know, he's doing things in his own strength. So then the last one, and hopefully I've got this right. Yes, so John 18. Verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus was often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to him, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fill the word that he had spoken, "Of those who you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant's and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Again, we find Peter understanding who Jesus is, recognizing that Jesus is important, but misunderstanding what Jesus is here to do, right? Ignoring what Jesus has told him. And doing something that all of us in our own strength would probably do, right? Like, I mean, this is the Messiah, right? He should be in our minds, in our human weakness. We think, he has to be protected. Ignoring the reality, though, of who Jesus is. And then finally, we get to verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of the man's disciples, are you?" And he said, I am not. Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also said to them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. We're going to skip to verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, you are also not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off, so probably recognizes him, asked, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. So now we're let's go ahead and move to John 21. So we know a few things. We know that there are seven disciples here. We know this is the third time that Jesus has appeared to the disciples. But this is the longest sort of scene that we get. We get set. We know Peter, once he recognizes who Jesus is, runs to him. So we know he recognizes him and understands and loves him. I think it's pretty cool to see him, run to him. But I think, they're sitting around a campfire. They've eaten. They've had time to talk. And I just put myself in Peter's shoes. What does Jesus think of me? How does he feel about me? He knows I denied him. He prophesied. He told me I was going to deny him, and I did it. All the six other guys sitting around the campfire know it too. How am I supposed to be the rock? Peter, as we so often do, misunderstood the mission. So many people in the Israel country of Israel thought that the Messiah was going to be a revolution, a political or military revolution. Peter certainly did. There were whole sects of that world that thought that. He's just denied, not once, not twice, but three times, his Messiah. And then he watched that Messiah, the person he's put all these hopes and dreams, all the weight of hundreds of years of faith and belief, die. So how does this work? Where's the freedom? How's this going to happen? I do think, though, there's a couple of, I see some of God's sense of humor and Jesus' sense of humor. If I spent all night casting a rod and reel, man, that's super hot. And then somebody walked up, Sam was like, hey, did you catch anything? No, Sam, I did not catch anything. But thank you. These guys, they're pulling, they're tossing a net in, they're pulling it in, they've been doing this all night. And I just can't help but think Jesus is teasing his guys a little bit. Did you catch anything? And then the very helpful, why don't you try the other side? But he knows what's going to happen, right? I think, though, too, this is, Jesus knows what's happening. Like, Peter and all these disciples think that, this big battle has happened. They've lost, right? But Jesus understands this moment, this quiet moment around a campfire, this is the calm between the storms. He spent years teaching them, having them follow him around, teaching them these lessons, and now the hard part for them is just beginning, right? All right, so we're going to read John 21:15. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, Do you love me more than these? There's a lot in that question. Do you love me more than these? So what are these? Some people believe he's talking about the disciples. Some people believe that he's talking about the fish, right? So this is his livelihood. This is how he earned a living. This is how they, and like, are they going back to that? You know, are you going to go back to fishing? And what are these? What are the things that we put above God, above our relationship with Jesus? You know, it could be our job. It could be our accomplishments. It could be the possessions that we own, the relationships that we have, you know, our nationality, our political parties. What identity do we place above that relationship with Christ? What thing are we clinging to before him? I sort of hesitated to tell this story because it's not a good look for me, but about 10 years ago, I was applying, you know, I was in a job. I'd been there for about 10 years, and I applied for this job. I should have been a shoo-in for it. I did not get it. And I'm embarrassed and ashamed to say how angry I was. I mean, I was upset. And you know, went to somebody else. I liked the guy. He was a really awesome guy. That was not the issue. And I thought, like, that's mine, right? That's where I'm supposed to be, right? And about a year later, so it was a while, I ended up getting a different job that changed my life. I mean, in just profound, unbelievable, unfathomable ways. And then I looked back, you know, the hindsight's 20/20, I felt even more foolish. I mean, I was ashamed at how I reacted, but I felt foolish for how much I was clinging to something. And God was like, look, dude, shut your mouth, sit down. This is nothing. This is a pile of fish. You're freaking out over a pile of fish. This is what I have to offer you. Right? And how many times in our lives we cling to something. That's mine. I have to have that. That's so important. I have to have that. Without that, who am I? Come on. So he says, do you love me more than these? And I think it's important, too, to point out. So as I was studying this, there are two different, there's actually multiple versions of love in Greek. But there's two that are important here in this section. So in verse 14, when he says, oh, sorry, 15, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He uses the word agape. And I was like doing a deep dive. Like I found myself until I ended up in Reddit of all places. That's how deep of a dive I did. And one of the things, because I was like, well, what did that mean when he said it? And then I like, because I'm looking at the definition, I'm like, idiot. He literally just redefined what that word meant. Jesus knew what that word meant when he said it, and Simon Peter certainly knew what it meant when he said it. So agape is sacrificial love, godly love. And Simon responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon does not use agape when he responds to Jesus. He uses phileo, which is brotherly love, right? Philadelphia. So Peter's like, I don't. You know, he's just got done denying Jesus. He was ready to go to war. But when it came time in his mind to go to war, he told someone three times, I don't know that guy. So Peter says, I love you like a brother. And Jesus said, okay, feed my lambs. And then in verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you agape me? And Peter said, and this time he's saying, do you love me? So there's no comparison here. Like, Peter doesn't have to look at fish. He doesn't have to look at the disciples. He doesn't have to look at his family. He doesn't have to measure this against anything. Jesus is just going, hey, you know, all right, you couldn't say that. Let me back off a little bit. Can you just say you love me? And Peter once again is like, oh, you know, I've denied him three times. I love you like a brother. And Jesus says, okay, tend my sheep. And then in verse 17, Jesus says to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? But this time, Jesus has stepped a little bit closer to Peter. And he's not using the word agape anymore. He's saying, do you love me like a brother? Do you filio me? And Peter is grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? I used to look at this and think like, oh, well, Peter was upset because he, you know, God, Jesus is asking him. Spoiler alert, Jesus knows the answer. Jesus is not asking this to find anything out for himself. Jesus isn't unsure of this. That sets aside the sovereignty of the creator of the universe who's sitting at a campfire with his disciples. Jesus knows the answer. We know that because he tells you later on, Peter, you're going to die. He knows how Peter's going to die. He knows what Peter's going to do tomorrow. He knows the answers that Peter's going to give him right now. This is not a surprise to him. I looked this up. Jesus asked 307 questions. I didn't go through every single one of them, but I'm going to guess he knew the answer to every single one of them. He wasn't asking them for himself. He was asking them for the person in front of him. And in this case, he's asking them for Peter. And then, like Joe says all the time, Jesus is like, God's doing 15 different things. He knows John is sitting here writing this story so that we are. So Jesus is like, watch this. I'm going to ask this question. Watch what Peter says. Because how many of us can relate to that? How many of us can understand that shame, that guilt that prevents us from saying, yes, I agape you? Peter knows in that moment, he can't honestly say that. He just got done denying it. This morning, we did something that prevents us from saying, I agape you. Last night, tomorrow. But here's the thing. Who are we kidding? We're not surprising Jesus. Jesus is not at some point going, I did not see Ben freaking out about that job. He knew I was going to do that. That's not the question. The question is, what are you going to do about it? And Jesus, in this situation, gives Peter an answer. Now, this is Peter's answer, right? Not all of us are meant to feed his sheep, specifically, right? But he's telling us to do something. He needs Peter to get over himself. Because guess what? He's not going to be around. He's got to leave, right? He's going to leave him the Holy Spirit. But like Peter, the moping and the doubt and the shame need to stop. He knew the answer. So what do we do now? In the first answer to the question, Jesus said, feed my lambs. And the second one, tend my sheep. And the third, feed my sheep. I think this, you know, like each of us has a different role in the faith. But I think one of the things that I take away from this is that it's a never ending, right? You don't just get to like do something once and then you're like done, right? Like You can work, you can feed sheep, you can birth sheep, and then guess what? They're going to be there in the morning. So now you got to feed them again. It's not just a one and done kind of thing. You know, if you've got kids, you know, you're going to feed them, and then you're going to wake up a few hours later, and you're going to feed them again. And then you're going to feed them again. They're not going to be grateful for that. You're going to feed them again and again and again and again. It never ends. So this idea that, like, we're just, you know, all that. So, yes, it's hard. Yeah. Get over it. You know? But that sacrificial love. Again, Jesus knew the answer. He knew the limitations. And he just needs Peter to get up and do something. So, you know, the verse that we read in Matthew 24, you know, those opportunities as they arise, each of us have different skills, different things, you know. But I think the important thing is saying, I'll show up on Sunday. I recognize who you are, so I'll show up on Sunday. But I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to take my Saturday and go serve at, you know, a mission. I'm not going to go on in the missions field. I'll show up on Sunday, but don't ask me to go stand up on the worship team. I'll stand in the back, but please don't ask me to teach your children. I hate kids. I'm not going there. I mean, you're hedging your bet, just like Peter. What is sacrificial? What are you holding on to? What are we each holding on to? That's like, I'll do this, but not that. I'll identify as a Christian, but not here. Don't ask me to give this up. This means so much to me. All right, so to close, Mountain City, do you love Jesus? And feed his sheep. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity once again to gather. I just ask that we just thank you so much for your mercy and your grace, your forgiveness, your constant, never-ending forgiveness, Lord. We just thank you so much for what you've done for us. We ask that you give us opportunities to serve you sacrificially. Ask that you give us the grace to let go of the things we think are so valuable and so meaningful, but next to you are just a pile of fish. I pray that we bless those who are here as they go out this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Mountain City Church. To learn more about our church, visit our website at mountaincty.church. Thanks again, and may the Lord bless your week.